So basically, what there is there's like a hole in the table, and you lie face down, and what? You asked me what milking was.
No one asked you.
Didn't ask virgin plus ratio.
No, it's you. I mean, we were talking about it afterwards.
No, you were talking about
you
it.
Said, we you not. Asked what milking was. No, said, I didn't. Oh, that's not milking. You just tossed someone off with milking. It's two different things.
No one else asked what milking was. We made a slight joke about, I can't remember what it was at this point, and you then decided to
get out the whole table from your cupboard, and yeah.
It's got a whole cupboard of lube.
Of lube? I'm just imagining what that would be like. Can you imagine how slippery it would be in there?
I don't have to imagine, mate. It's right there.
It's actually not lube. It's just, you know, where I keep all the bedding when, you know, people stay over. Or in Toby's case, you're small enough to go straight on the sofa. So job done for me. Easy.
Mm.
Did you sleep all right the other night, by the way? Was it comfy?
I slept fine, to be fair. Yeah. I wouldn't have slept for a month and a half here, like our friend from the Zoom days. But, like, you know, I did a job. I had a few, so it was a nice, easy sleep.
It's
although Gary was chewing my ear off
I went to bed
in a nice way.
Did Gary stay here as well?
No, Gary.
Once Gary got home, Gary gave me a call as I was going to bed, so I was just chatting to him as I was kind of like almost falling in and out of sleep, but I was still conscious talking to him. Yeah. But then I was like, I need to go sick.
I went to bed because I was fucked. I was absolutely shattered. I'm in bed, you know, I'm there, spread eagled, chilling out, making those exact noises that Toes is making right now by yawning straight into the mic, and I hear, Louis, what? Gary wants you. I'm like, for fuck's sake, come out. And then Gary's like, yes, I've had this idea. And it's like, me and Tyler are just both like wanting to collapse into bed. And then Gary's giving us all these ideas of the pod because he's absolutely pissed. And I'm not going to lie, as much as it was a chaotic episode, I did enjoy the McLees.
The McLees were lovely. I thought you were going to quote what Gary said, which made me laugh because it was in my head just then.
Which one was it?
No. Gary said to you,
oh yeah, I can't talk about that. I can't, because I'll get into trouble if I mention what he said. I'll say it
funny man.
It was good but it was strong life advice from Gary Hayes, as per, you know, I expect nothing less from him.
What a boy.
Absolutely. But yeah, guys, welcome to the Chelsea Echo podcast. Cold opens are back, didn't need it after the review, but we're here to talk about Fulham. I'm excited, Tobes is excited, Tom Arse is excited, and we hope you are as well. But before we do get into the show, if you're not already, follow us on our socials. Yeah, all of us are individuals, as well as the Chelsea Echo account, and give us a cheeky 5-star review, because if you've come back and you've not done it yet, the fuck's wrong with you?
Louis is offering free milking sessions to the first 100 followers.
Yep, so
on the back of this podcast specifically.
And if you're in the first 10, you'll get a haircut as well.
Haircut and a milking session.
Simultaneously, yeah.
That'd be very, very hard. I don't know how you could do that.
Well, it's been offered now.
So. I don't know. This is
just like...
You're an extra.
I can't see it.
A milkman and a barber.
I mean, because this is audio only. You've just seen me trying to figure out how you'd milk someone and cut their hair at the same time. It just doesn't look
they're
right.
They're not looking out the window there.
Yeah, neighbours.
Yeah, that would look very strange.
Louis tossing himself off and rubbing his head is what they've just seen. With two blokes sitting opposite watching and talking about it.
Yeah.
Welcome to a standard episode of The Echo. But yeah, obviously we got that. A little bit of an update as well before we start. The predictions are going to be a separate show, we've decided now. We're going to do them because we can actually go into the football a little bit, have a little discussion. You know, show we actually have some football IQ. We aren't just Twitter tacticos. You know, we don't just talk about the half spaces.
And they're not just predictions, they're spoilers.
Exactly.
They were for me last week anyway. Woo-hoo.
Exactly. But we'll get onto those later in a separate show.
Get onto those like your mum.
She can't, she's dead. Anyway,
we do dark humour here as well. Jeez.
That was good. That was funny. I mean, not funny, obviously, but, you know, it was...
No, stop digging.
I'm not digging.
It's the way you, when you said it, I just had to sharp intake of breath from Tom because
I knew what was coming. You could have played that two ways, and either way, I would have burst out laughing.
You could have played it with a digging comment as well, to be fair.
Oh, she's cremated. Anyway.
Fucking hell.
therapist.
This is now a cry for help.
Not in the milking table over there.
Anyway.
I'm sat in bed doing the luge.
We go again. It's Derby Day.
What is he says? He goes, don't worry about it. And the character's like, is that advice? He goes, yeah, don't worry about it, mate. You should come out with me ratting the nonce. The nonce being Lee, of course.
I was waiting for that. Anyway, we're back. It is Derby Day. Can't be worse than last year after losing two games to Fulham.
João Félix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we've got João Félix, the one that got away, apparently, despite the fact he was never bought by us. Yeah, look, it'd be big. We go again after a win against Brighton. Potentially two wins in a row, hopefully.
Credible as well, not like Luton. Like, you know, Brighton and Fulham looks better on the CV. It's like a silver DV, not bronze.
I never did DV.
I quit after bronze.
I did silver. It was lovely.
You did silver?
I wanted to do gold, but I changed schools and they didn't do it, so I couldn't.
What did you do for your DV?
What do you mean?
Like because I know friends who like went to work in like nursing home and shit.
I coached rugby and I coached football and I refereed.
You are kind
of you wanker.
You'd be such a dick. I can feel it. I'd be like, if he was refereeing a game, you just know he'd be.
Did
like,
you book anyone ever?
Because
at kids' level, you don't really get booked much.
I refereed a mate's game a couple of months ago, and they said that I was better than all the other refs they'd had all season. So I did book a few people there, though. It's quite fun.
Nice.
And apparently, I missed a Stonewall pen because it's quite hard. Like, first 10 minutes, I found myself just ball watching a lot.
But that is someone who's just gone in and had a go at it.
Yeah,
I haven't
refed a proper game for a long time. But trained rugby referee. Fun fact.
That's cool.
You watch the World Cup?
Yeah, watch every game. Actually, last night.
Rugby
the first
refs are a bit more. There's a bit more credibility there, though, isn't there? They're known for.
This isn't soccer, okay.
No, Nigel Owens.
They're called Sir by
the. They are called Sir by these massive.
He just loves it. He loves being called Sir.
Call me Sir.
Over the milking table.
Exactly. Anyway.
Chelsea go milking table.
I was in a cinema. Or not in a cinema. I was working in a cinema for DV. You free films? I remember watching Dark Knight Rises. Just scrams and popcorn.
Which Dark Knight Rises?
You get paid for this?
No. This is like volunteering. The volunteering aspect. And then I did cooking, which was... I made a roast with my mum and then she just put that I did 50 hours or 30 hours. Sorry, Duke. Is he even alive anymore?
Duke of Edinburgh.
Right, exactly.
Well, actually,
so there is a new Duke of Edinburgh.
It's Edward, isn't it? Pretty sure it's Edward.
Well, I don't think it's Andrew, is it?
Well, no, it would have been.
That's
but
a real nonce.
He is actually a turbo nonce.
Allegedly.
No, allegedly.
I mean, I know.
So, yeah, I think it's Edward now.
Sweating like an Andrew in a nursery. Well, he doesn't sweat, does he?
No, sweating like an Andrew in a Pizza Express in Woking.
He doesn't sweat, remember?
He doesn't sweat, yeah. Hey, was it the Queen left him the corgis when...
And Sarah Ferguson, because they still live together despite...
She left
splitting up years ago.
I thought she left her Sarah Ferguson, so I didn't realise she owned someone. I was like, what? Be a bit
no, weird. No. Sarah Ferguson, I believe her name is Sarah Ferguson, is Prince Andrew's ex, and they still live together, which I find
no
very,
Rebecca
very strange.
Ferguson, now is it? Do you know what I mean?
The X Factor singer.
Or Sir Alex, or even Evan.
Yeah, exactly. Or
maybe Darren, though. Darren's not great.
It wasn't, yeah, Darren's there was a bit of nepotism there involved, wasn't there?
Who's Cheryl Ferguson? I don't know. Why is that name in my head? Maybe that's like a real
Cheryl
person.
Are you getting confused with Rebecca Ferguson and Cheryl Cole?
No, I'm not. I feel like that name's just in my head for some reason.
Just
maybe it's a person from real life that I've forgotten about. Who knows?
Cheryl Ferguson's going to come out of the woodwork.
That sounds like an old woman, though. Doesn't sound
Arit.
Like
Arit. Arit. My name's Cole. Well, it's not anymore, is it? I don't even know what her name is.
Something Italian.
My
name's
Cheryl.
It was Tweedy and then Cole, wasn't it?
And then she married some Italian fashion designer.
Fair enough.
Lucky bloke.
Yeah. And then she got a tattoo.
Yeah, rose arse.
Tattoo of roses.
Yeah.
Really
oh, yeah. Cool. You're ruining it. You're ruining it.
Anyway.
Why did she do that, man? Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm in big trouble.
I'll throw an arse about tats on it myself, said the Lee.
You can't just say things that you clearly think yourself and then say, oh, yeah, says Lee.
I think myself, because in the last episode I said great age in response to 15, so no. But I can say things that are purposely, you know, for comedic effect, like, and say they're late.
It won't be him. It's like Lee Smith. You've got mozzarella, and you've got arancini. So everyone's got an out. It's like these people host the split. At the Chelsea Echo, we have split personality disorder.
You're watching the psychiatric breakdown. Like, us all this, just the one, degenerating the over
one
the years.
The cuckoo's nest, but we all wear Chelsea scarves.
Yeah, by the in 3 or 4 years, it's a 10-person podcast with one host.
It's just Louis.
It's just... It's
totally, just, what do you think? Yeah, bloody really, mate.
It's just the film Split, but Louis just in his barber chair and his milking table losing his mind. A 24-hour live stream, 365 days a year of just the descent into madness of Lee Smith. Oh, my God.
Like a play to see in the West End.
That sounds amazing.
The descent of madness with Lee Smith by the National Theatre.
With a milking table.
We all go a little David mad. Tennant.
That is a surty David Tennant production.
Oh, mate. I think we should write the script.
Oh, it sounds quite Joaquin Phoenix as well, though. He would do a role like that.
I reckon we should write a script and just send it off and see who comes back to us.
No one. But yeah, why not? Anyway, for what we are actually here for.
That's
Lee.
One of Lee's other personalities. He's like, I'm a film writer. See?
Andrew Lloyd Lee.
Aaron Lee Rella.
Oh dear. Carrick is coming. Wait, any sec.
It's coming.
Just like, there it is. Have you ever spat at children? Or was that just Carrick?
Only on purpose, but.
That's the chair moving.
The chair's laughing with Lee. Are we just giving you chair ASMR? Fucking hell, Michael Jackson's here now. Jesus, he's back from the dead. I mean, we've gone from one nonce to another.
Never met anyone who has like 15 different laughs. I don't even know why he's laughing at this point.
Maybe it's the ghost of Michael Jackson that's possessing Lee to be a nonce.
That's one of his 15 personalities.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I don't know, he's gone.
Right.
Oh, it's because we're saying Lee.
See, off air, he keeps saying that.
Okay,
Lee,
get off that
boring,
milking table. What was that noise? Like, he's gone again.
Off air, he says the Lee stuff's boring. But
yeah, he goes, guys, cut it out.
And he comes onto the pod and he
cut
laughs
it out.
5 minutes straight.
It's disrespectful to my people.
To be fair, he does have the laugh of 10 different people, so that would work for his show in a couple of years' time.
What a bad show. I feel like if we ever do a live show, do the pod, then the warm-up attach is just me doing 10 different personalities. Like a one-man play of, like, Animal Farm. Four legs good, two legs bad.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, sorry, you're not cultured enough to know who George Orwell is.
I've read 1984.
I've studied that book, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Animal Farm.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that voice...
I'm just imagining what the pig would sound like. Four legs good, two legs bad.
Wasn't that set about... Wasn't it about the Russian Revolution?
Oh, my God, we're getting back into politics,
probably
boys.
Talk about that.
The Chelsea Echo is well and truly
back. Sound more Russian, wouldn't it, than that?
I mean, maybe it was based on the Russian Revolution, but it doesn't necessarily like have to be in the Russian Revolution.
I thought it was just the concept of Big Brother got born out of it.
That was 1984, yeah.
Yeah. I haven't read Animal Farm, I've read
Animal
1984.
Farm, it was all about the Russian Revolution, how animals ran the farmers out of a farm and then became the farmers themselves.
So the animals milked the farmers?
And milked them, well and truly, yeah.
And it all comes back. It's
where the milking
like the pedo rings.
Yeah. Anyway, Fulham.
Nice, okay. Back to reality.
Friend of Michael Jackson, who was brought up a couple of minutes ago. Well, actually, no, he's not even the owner anymore, is it? Does Tony Khan own Fulham?
It was
the old owner that had the statue of
Michael. Yeah, they had Dodi Al-Fayed.
Who died recently.
But then now it's Tony Khan who owns AEW Wrestling.
Oh, is it Steve Fernandez who owned QPR?
Tony Fernandez owned QPR. That was when they went all his and Bia and Basingua and Rio Ferdinand.
You see, there was they did that what, the 5 year plan. They did, well, not the 5 year plan, the 1 year, 3 year plan or something, which was like a documentary on Amazon Prime about QPR. It was fucking insane. It was actually quite...
Like, during that time, it was nuts. Like, Danny Parejo was there and...
Esther Granero. Julio Cesar.
Yeah. Like I said, Samba was there and back. Like, he went there twice.
Rio Fernand.
G-San Park.
Sean Derry.
Richard
my
Dunn.
God.
I think he was
Joey Barton.
I remember one specific game away at Loftus. Actually, I remember a couple specific Loftus Road games.
It is a shit.
One of them for a really good reason, and then one of them was really not a nice day, was it?
Loftus Road just is not a nice ground.
It's a shithole. But Ivanovic doing the thing when we won the league was good. He only like leaned back into the crowd.
Yeah, that was good.
Cesc bagged. Good day.
Shock. Anyway, yeah. To modern day football, Fulham.
Fulham, a side which obviously we didn't do too well against last season.
No.
Last year was an absolute disaster, losing both games 2-1. But
no, we drew 0-0 at home. It was Enzo's debut.
Sorry, I've just seen some really sad breaking news.
What?
Michael Gambon's died.
Fuck, Dumbledore. The second Dumbledore's dead.
Dumbledore's dead.
Ron Weasley.
Dumbledore! Is he actually dead?
Michael Gambon dies at 82.
Oh, fuck, man. I watched Layer Cake the other night.
Yeah,
I was
still answering the quote Layer Cake as well. I'm going to teach you about the facts of life.
Big fat fucker. That's what he says. Then you're like, oh my God, Dumbledore swearing. It seems weird.
You're born, you take shit. You get up in the world, take more shit.
Well,
I tear up in a rarefied atmosphere and you forget what shit looks like.
Welcome
to Layer Cake, son. What a film.
Rest in peace, Dumbledore.
I can't believe Snape killed him again. Wait, shit, Snape's dead as well.
Yeah, so they're going to meet each other in the afterlife.
Fucking hell, man. All the Potters are just... Hagrid died the other month as well.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Don't get in any cars anytime soon.
Well, I mean, did Aaron Ramsey score last night?
I don't know.
No, he scored the other week.
Thingy from Peaky Blinders. Helen McCrory, she died as well.
Yeah, she was Malfoy's mum.
Quite a few of them. Gone.
Anyway,
back to Fulham, the team that Margot Robbie supports.
Let's look at the magic that happened last year. It was some bad curses last year. Some death spells put on Chelsea.
Nice.
2-1 losses back-to-back against Fulham.
You said it was 0-0.
I've already corrected you, Lee. It was 0-0 in the home one.
Was it?
Yeah, Enzo's debut. We drew 0-0. Dacho Fofana probably should have scored. Okay. Not much else happened.
Notes which have been given by our
I didn't say both games. I said last year, both. Yeah, because we lost 2-1 at Craven Cottage, which is where we're playing this weekend.
Pull your fingers out.
It could have been more clear in the script, mate. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, maybe you could just read what I said in the script rather than
making
things up. I never said both games, did I?
It looks like you're talking about both games. You know what I mean? Anyway, no Mitrovic this year, which is one big bonus.
Yep.
Off to, we went to Al, was it Al Ali?
Al, one
last,
of
was it like literally a couple of weeks ago?
One of the Saudi teams.
There are 17, you know.
He's playing.
Out of the 20 teams, 17 of them begin with Al.
Al!
Fun fact.
Yes.
One of them's called ABBA. ABHA.
Sadly. I was really, really sad.
And then there are two that are
I just saw that Lingard's now training with Gerrard's team.
Al Itifaka.
Correct.
Al Itifaki.
They're becoming
Steven Gerrard.
Saudi League. Gerrard, Henderson, now Lingard.
I mean, I wouldn't call Lingard very much a Brazil footballer.
No, but as in...
They've got someone who's quite good. I can't remember who it is.
They've got also the average British players when like everyone else going and signing Neymar.
To be fair, I saw some clips of Henderson playing and with the level of it being like Henderson just looks unbelievable.
Yeah, until he plays Neymar's team. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the big things we got... I'm just going to redirect it from the script. Fulham has been pretty average this year, apparently, according to Tom.
I think they have.
Losing Mitrovic, their talisman. Defences are average.
They were good against Arsenal. They had a good result with 10 men against them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But they're lucky they kept Palhinha. If they'd lost him, they could have been in big trouble.
Yeah.
I think that deal falling through is a big thing for them.
He's the one that I worry about the most in this game, to be honest. I think that he's got...
Chelsea Law, it's Willian. That's who we got to watch.
I mean, that's a given, but I'm thinking that midfield battle, we looked at... Yeah. I mean, let's just take the Brighton game as an example, where it was pretty much a full-strength midfield for Brighton, minus, obviously, they didn't start Billy Gilmore, but when he came on, you had Billy Gilmore, that new Baluba guy, whatever his name is.
Florent Baluba.
He came on, or he was playing, and then, obviously, we had Enzo, Caicedo, and hopefully Cole Palmer be the three. If you look at it, I think I'm trying to weigh it up. The biggest issue I see with that team is the severe lack of height, and I do feel João Palhinha has that physicality, which we don't quite have in our midfield.
We're going to do them. I'll be honest, our only issue is goals. That's our only issue. It's just literally scoring goals. Like, the chances are there. Defensively, we're all right. We're getting in the swing. We're getting more players back. Like, it's just, can we score a goal? No Jackson, so it makes it a bit tough there.
Sorry, Mr. Jackson.
Lol. I said before to Tobes outside, when Louis was getting his drinks for his milk, for his milking table, I said that we've actually played quite well recently. Like, the results don't reflect how well we generally are. Like, we dominated games. We spoke about the XG. I might have been in the previous pod, but so we've dominated XG in every single game we played. I'm not a big fan of XG, but it's a stat that tells you something. We're the only team to do that along with Manchester City. Our seasons have gone slightly differently.
Champions of XG, you'll never sing that.
Exactly. Chelsea. But yeah, so like, we played quite well. We just, as you said, we need to score goals.
Yeah, it was the Villa game for me that was really confirmed that. Where I was like, I'm not mad at them. Yeah. I was mad at the decision that changed the game. And even after the red card, I still thought we created more chances than Villa. Villa are quite rate them. And yeah. I thought we were the better team in that. It wasn't a performance that I was annoyed at, but the results and the hangover of last season, I think, just clouds people's opinion to this side isn't last year. Like, we're getting annoyed because they missed the chances, but we're seeing chances and we weren't seeing any of that. So,
I mean, you could see, those are the clips on social that came out over the past couple of days. When Jackson scored, you could see it was a bunch of lads that really, really cared. And they're just, I think I saw friend of the pod, actually, Tash Richardson. She's great on Twitter, so if you want to go follow someone who loves her Chelsea and talks with knowledge, I guess she's great. She was talking about how this team is, you know, they care. They're just in the trenches. That's her quote. And it's fair. I think, you know, we'll have to see. I think for me, it's the case of that Brighton game. Like you were saying in the preview or the review, Tobes, when we were cooking our McLees, you know, we were talking about how, you know, the game against Brighton was big because it's a potential... just, it's a bit of a nut buster. It's somewhere where we can sort of be there and sort of just get over a bit of a hump or start to get over the hump. If we've done that against Brighton, which I think was a big thing hanging over Chelsea fans' heads, considering the amount of money that we spent on Brighton, we've semi got over that hump. I'd like to see it in the league, obviously, but you know, we've got over the hump in a cup game, which is pretty good. Take that form into this Fulham game, keep going. Same for Burnley, keep going. If we can just get that done, I think that's the thing which we need, especially going into this run after the international break, which is going to be extremely difficult.
That's the thing now for us, is I feel like we did it a bit, because when we beat Leeds, we beat Wimbledon, we were like, right, here we go, we've got a couple of wins under our belt, nice. And then lost to Forest. And that was that the international break then, the last one?
Yes.
After that? So then we kind of came back and it was a bit of a weird, like, we were a bit in a bit of a weird place. We had Bournemouth away, which is a game we'd never really enjoy. Played quite well, we didn't score, drew 0-0, that's not a great result really, like, in the grand scheme of things. Then go to like play Villa, played quite well, couldn't find a goal, red card, they score, they win. And it's the general vibe there of getting 1 point from three when we started to build something. And it's kind of like the whole kind of taking one step forward and then two steps back. That's what we need to kind of cut out. And just, even if it's a gradual build and there's a bit of gradual momentum, say we get 4 points from these two games, we play quite well against Fulham, but we don't quite beat them, and then go and beat Burnley. I think it's an improvement, but we
I would like six.
Well, obviously we want
six. I would like six going into that running. Yeah, I would like, yeah.
And as you said before, I think off air, like, we've fallen a long way that we're now going into games being like, oh, like, you know, if we play well, that's good.
Yeah,
like, we are Chelsea. Yeah. We should be winning. We've forgotten our identity a bit after last year, and arguably, like, you know, the whole hangover, the changeover of Abramovich, the manager's change, and like, we are still Chelsea.
We're the fucking Chelsea.
And we should be winning against Fulham and Burnley comfortably, even with a brand new squad and a new manager and stuff. So let's stop thinking about playing well. Let's go and beat them 2-3-0 and, you know, become Chelsea again before going to bloody Arsenal. So
they need to remember who we are.
Not expecting necessarily, but that's what I want.
Yeah, okay. So, but what do you two expect? When we're going into this game, we're talking about wanting to build momentum. But
oh no, I think we will beat Fulham.
Yeah? I think we'll beat Fulham, but I don't think it will be easy because they'll obviously come for us. They beat us last year. They know kind of how.
But that game changed with the red as well. Yeah, I remember like feeling really on top. Felix is looking great, and then he goes and gets sent off, and the game changes. Yeah. Kepa is being a Kepa in that game, and but I didn't play that game and thought, God, Fulham are way better than us.
I do think one big thing as well about them this year, Fulham, that is that with no Mitro, Jimenez is currently their output, and he's half.
Since that head injury,
I think we can contain him quite easily, and then it's just a case of dealing with Willian and whoever else they play, whether they play
Dick or Diver Reed, won't it?
Or maybe him, but I'll say it.
It's Dick or Diver Reed, right?
Or Diver Reed, yeah. I've never really rated him, but he'll probably score now. But
But yeah, yeah, we'll have to see. It'll be very interesting. But anyway, before we crack on, we do have an opposition preview this week, which is quite nice. So I'll go and have a chat with JCC after I've given him an amazing skin fade. We'll see you in a bit. Right, so we're here. We're joined by a man who's going to be getting a haircut very shortly, in Jonathan, or JCC, as some people know us. Some geezer with us pro clubs, lives down the road, you know, pretty simple. No one knows who the fuck he is. Over one subscriber on YouTube.
That's true. That is a fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty much. How you doing, mate? You all right?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, thank you for such a warm welcome.
No, listen. It's lovely. This whole sugarcoating situation when people are talking, it's like, oh my God, we're joined by this person. I'm like, no, we're joined by this guy.
Yeah.
You know, does what he wants.
Yeah.
His game's a game.
Yeah.
Speaking of like games, obviously we got you,
yeah,
Monday night.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Mate, I'm excited for it, to be honest. Under the lights, 8 o'clock kickoff. I've got a season ticket, I'll be there. I don't know, it's a weird game, like playing like teams, like relegation teams. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, it can be like they can turn up one night. Obviously, you guys are really bad at football. Like, you're quite bad at kicking the ball in the net. Uh-huh. So I'm not that worried, uh-huh, to be honest. Uh-huh. Obviously, recent history hasn't been great over the last 20 years of playing you lot. But the last season, we took 4 points off you. So
yeah.
I'm confident.
That's a nice trophy, that, isn't it, in the cabinet?
Four points, it's good. Yeah, it's good. I look at it all the time.
But yeah, no, I get why people are saying that about us right now. I really do.
Yeah.
Because we are crap. But we did beat Brighton. So, you know.
Done, yeah, in the cup.
Yeah, no, they played a pretty full strength team though.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We did all right.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we've got to let you get some things every so often.
Yeah. Okay.
But obviously, like with you guys at the minute, you're not as good as you were last year. Is it fair to say?
It's weird. We actually have more points than we had at this stage last season, but I would say we're not. We've had some good results. Like going to the Emirates and getting a point is a great result for any team in the league. I just think it's strange. We lost Mitrovic. That was all a bit sour. We nearly lost Polina. Now he signed a contract and he's staying and he looks like he's going to be our captain. And I don't know how that's happened.
Yeah. How does that make you feel? Because we kind of got, I guess, it's not similar, but semi-similar situation with Conor Gallagher where we were looking to shift him on and now, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, you'd think, okay, release clause, Bayern are going to come in. It's going to be set. There's no release clause. There's nothing in it. And he's come out and put full commitment statements to Fulham. If you watch him play, you know, when you get, like, you can tell with a player, like, he hasn't kissed the badge or anything, but he wants to be there. So I think maybe we've just given him some of that Mitrovic bread, some of the money that we used to pay him. I think we've added it to Polina and gone, look, stay here. But as a season, you asked me that, I think we're okay. We're not, obviously, there's some terrible teams in the league. They're going down. We're going to be all right. I doubt we'll do as well as we did last season.
Do you think people's expectations of Fulham are going to be higher? Is it almost like a similar Brighton situation where everyone seems to be, you know, Brighton are going to do exceedingly well? Or do you think it's a case of people with Fulham kind of need to maybe temper their expectations?
Oh, 100% we need to temper expectations. I don't know if you know this. This is breaking news in this podcast, but Brighton's recruitment is very good. That's a fact.
We took most of it, apparently.
Yeah, you take it all. Yeah. But we don't have that. We just seem to go and buy, like, a 28-year-old who's kind of there in the Prem. So like a Wobi or like Willian, like two seasons ago, like amazing player for us. But for me, as a Fulham fan, I hate our recruitment. And I think that's what's going to stagnate us. Like, we don't have a plan. We're not like, oh, get this guy in and then we'll develop it. It's like, get Willian in. Okay, yeah, that could have gone terribly. It's gone well. Get a Wobi in. It's too early to tell, but he looks good. But for me, it's just not an uninspiring signing. Like, I want a 21-year-old from Venezuela I've never heard of who comes in and he's like, whoa.
We've got a few of those. You probably have them
alone. You've got a few hundred.
That's the one thing. That's one thing. You say you love that. I hate that because we're running a crash at the minute. I'd quite like to have some 28-year-olds. I don't know if you've seen me on Twitter banging on. In fact, no, I said it to you last time. I wanted James Ward-Prowse and then, I was apparently an idiot for that. And then now, you know, he's tearing out for West Ham. So sometimes having those 28-year-olds isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I get what you're saying. I mean, I guess an example of that would be Raul Jimenez.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mitrovic was, if we're just going to put it nicely, was a bit of a bastard. I'd use stronger words, but we're only allowed to use that word once every season. We've set that as a rule.
Okay.
It's a bit like 2 pints of lager, how they drop the F-bomb once every season. We're only allowed to use it
once.
And
you've used it now? You've gone early?
I haven't used it. See, I've explained it, but I've not used it.
Right, okay.
Smart, mate.
Smart, yeah.
Out there thinking, down there for dancing.
Yeah.
But obviously, Raul Jimenez, what's he been like?
Not great, in my opinion, mate. They had a chance to score at Hammy End against Brentford. It would have drawn us level. Ran through, and instead of just shooting like a normal footballer, he decided to Rabona it over the stadium. Never seen anything like it. He just looks clumsy. He looks a bit raw. I don't hate him as a signing, but going back to what you were saying, mate, I think like Chelsea, Fulham are kind of opposite. Like we're going and signing these old, sort of finished players, and you're signing these unproven. There's a happy medium. So... Yeah, I don't know, mate. Jimenez is not going to be the one to score even 10 goals in the Prem for us this season. 15. He's not that player.
So where's the threat going to come from then? What if I'm sat in the stand?
Yeah.
And obviously looking at our team, so there's going to be no Ben Chilwell, no Mal Augusto, no Nico Jackson. Obviously, we need to deal with the situation what you have. So for us, for example, we're very high press with Nico. We're not going to be able to do that now. Where are the threats going to come from in this Fulham team?
Yeah, well, we want Vinicius to start. Vinicius is obviously a younger player, unproven, but he's kind of a Mitrovic build player. Like, he's a big lad. And obviously, he's going with Jimenez. He's going for the experience, but Fulham fans want to see Vinicius. He scored against you guys last season at the Cottage, the winner. You might have seen it.
I did see it. Isn't he the one who also did like the celebration against Marine when he was at Spurs?
Yeah, he's done the Mbappe celebration against some actual farmers. He's a good player. I mean, it's a weird one for us, mate. We have leaked quite a lot of goals this season, but being unlucky, there's been some really strange decisions for us, like penalties that shouldn't have been penalties. Ream got sent off in the Brentford game that was fairly tight, and then we ended up losing 3-0 because he got this really soft red card penalty. And there's been things like that that have gone against us, and I think off the back of that, there's a bit of a reputation that isn't fair for Fulham. Of like, oh, yeah, leaking goals, not looking great in this. It's like, look, we aren't, and we do have a low XG, and I do think that can be an issue over time, but we are pretty hard to beat. With a spine of like Leno, Polina, Reem's having an amazing renaissance to his career at Fulham. And
how old is he now?
Oh God, he's got to be 35? 34, 35?
He's 35 with a man bun.
Yeah, but he looks good in it. A blonde man bun, I feel like it works.
I mean, he's in the wrong end of London for that though, isn't he, really?
Yeah, true.
To be in his mid-30s, one of those.
Yeah, 100%. It's should like, be in Shoreditch or something.
Exactly. Can't be living in South West somewhere that. Nice scissor cut, surely. So is he available then against
us?
Yeah,
he's available. Okay. Yeah, he's available. And you're right to ask a question. We don't have a direct threat. It's not like, oh, Mitrovic is going to score us 12, 13 goals this season. We don't really know where the goals are coming from.
But you're scoring more than we are, so that's interesting.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, realistic then, like everything you said, as much as we're taking the mickey, right, it doesn't sound positive this season. And obviously you guys had a top half finish last year, almost in the European places. This seems to be a bit of a trend with Marco Silva sides. I don't know what it is. It's like first season's a little bit wobbly, but they do okay, or in your case obviously in the Championship did really well. Second season seems to explode, do fantastically. Third season just seems to peter off. Mm-hmm. But what are you expecting out of Fulham then up until January at least?
Yeah. Do you know what? There's a theory that I can 100% agree with you on, but I have to caveat it by saying like Silva has not been given the resources. I think he nearly walked. I think he obviously had the Saudi offers and that. But Fulham fans would not have blamed him massively if he just walked away because of Tony Khan and not recruiting properly. There was, you know, points of the season where it was just like there's no recruitment. Like I said, it's like we're coming up to 2 weeks away from the transfer window closing, it's like, well, who went bought anyone? And like you said, finished ninth. Our season actually was better than that. You know, we had the Mitrovic, I don't know if you remember, but Old Trafford in the cup. We were 70 minutes in, 1-0 up. We were controlling the game. And then Willian got a red card. Mitrovic got a red card and an 8-game ban. Silva got sent off. And that sort of flipped our season because we were sitting there going, oh my God, we're 15 minutes away from knocking United out. Of the cup, and then we're going to Wembley. It's going to be amazing. Like Fulham fans, we get this day out. We don't do that, blah, blah, blah. And all that chaos happened. And it's sort of, for me, even as a fan, it was like, that's the end of our season. Like once we were out of that, and we had Mitrovic out, and then we had Willian banned, and we had Silva banned, it was like, we had like 5-6 games left in, and we had the smallest chance of making Conference League. And it was like, we're not doing that without those players and the manager. So I think like for us, coming into this season with Marco Silva, I feel like he hasn't been backed. So I'm surprised he's not kicked up more of a fuss, to be honest.
He doesn't strike me as that sort of character, though. He does seem to be...
But he's fiery with refs.
Yeah.
But he's been fiery this season with the officials.
Oh, I mean, who hasn't?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about the officiating this year?
It's ridiculous. We could speak about the whole thing, Paul. It's the worst I've ever seen. I just can't get my head around it. And then you watch, like, Champions League nights where it's away from the Prem, and you're like, oh, is he offside? Oh, there's the screen. Oh, yeah, he's offside. Done. But we're sat there watching the Prem, and I mean, actually, for me as a season ticket holder, it's even worse VAR because I'm sat in the stand and I'm like, what is going on? Like when Ream got sent off against Brentford, any Fulham fan that was there that day, it was just like, what's happened? I'm having to get Twitter up to explain. I'm like, hang on, I'm paying for this to be here.
We had exactly the same.
What's going on?
We had the same with Mal Augusto.
Yeah, give a sec. Oh, God.
Whoa, fuck it out.
Flatmates just walked through. Fuck off. Fuck off.
Did get the Andrex though. You did splash.
He's only got two rolls of it. Time's tough. He's walked in with two rolls. Do you want to give context for this?
I mean, to be fair, like we were having this big discussion on the pod a few weeks ago about the importance of, you know, sometimes investing in small things. Like, let's talk toilet roll. Okay?
Toilet roll is important.
This is what the Chelsea Echo is about. The Chelsea Echo doesn't just talk about the football. Mm. We talk about the most important matters. Like I said earlier in the pod, talk about milking tables. Okay, yeah, like any, nice. it's important.
Yeah.
Andrex or, you know, toilet rolls, like how is it important to invest, do you think, in toilet rolls?
It's important. That's a very we've got another flatmate coming down now. It's all kicking off in here.
You all right, mate? This is Louis Chen.
Hi, mate, nice to meet you. You're good. I'll say hello properly, give us a second.
Toilet roll, massively important, mate. You can't cheap out on it. But I'm saying that my flatmate's walked in with Andrex. Okay, great start. Two rolls.
I know.
I didn't even know they sold two rolls. Two, not four that, pack. Not even a four pack.
Is that something which people can do? Like, I mean, in the house, if there's three of you here, right?
Three lads here. That's going in a day.
That's gone.
It's gone already.
God, there's gonna be a drum kit noises everywhere for the rest of the day. You're gonna hear that. Oh, there goes the toilet roll. It's done. Oh dear, oh dear. But yeah. Anyway, back to the points about what we were talking about VAR. Yeah. I had the same last week at Malo Gusto. So obviously, I'm sat in my seat.
Yeah.
He's getting sent off for going, what's that for? Like, and it looks like a clean tackle. Yeah. And it was a clean tackle.
Yeah, it was, yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
They talk about the follow through and everything, but, you know, that was just part and parcel of the game. That's where his body was. So, you know, I think, VAR, like, there is a travesty in terms of how stuff's done in... Fucking hell. I thought you lived in Fulham, mate. What's going on there?
They're looking for you. Who let him in?
But yeah, no, so that, yeah, it's I don't know.
The Gusto one, though, talking about the tackle, like, I don't understand why there's this obsession with trying to get these types of tackles out of games, right? You can win the ball fairly, and it can be a hard challenge that can result in a leg break, in my opinion. That's just, it's a contact sport. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That his tackle was clean. I don't know why I'm backing him. He should get a 10-game ban. But no, for me, it's just like this obsession with, like, oh, but he could have got hurt. Yeah, yeah, it's a contact sport.
I think the difference is, like, it's like, for example, I think, I think the obvious one that was quite prominent over the past few years was when Son went through Andre Gomez.
Yeah.
Like, that, once tackles happen, like, okay, red card, see you later, mate. Yeah. Like, for example, if the leg's not planted, if everyone's safe, it's contact sport, fine. If the leg's planted and there is a leg break, okay, then the ban has to be involved.
I get it, but like Gusto is the direct example. It's like, it's possible to win the ball and it's like, oh, that could have also been bad. But he's won, it's not a red.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for me, it's like, but he's got the ball cleanly and the follow through, like, in the same way that you could have a centre-back run back, take someone out cleanly, but he's accidentally, you know, smashed him out and he's done his knee in. It's like, yeah, it's a contact sport.
Yeah.
Just because he's got hurt from it, like, that can happen, unfortunately.
That sounds very familiar to what you were saying to me when you wanted to play on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because I want to play centre-back. Why? Just because of this? Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, just go straight through somebody.
I'm actually putting a petition in to play a centre-back for my Saturday league team. We've got a few injuries.
You want to say you want to play centre-back?
Yeah, so literally I play right wing, for context.
Yeah,
my mate plays our left wing and right wing, so he's quite tall, and he's been watching John Stones compilations. And I've been going in the group chat. I messaged the manager and said, thoughts on John Stones and the Butcher. I'll be Martinez.
Oh, my God.
He's like, straight fuck off. Get out.
need those direct threats on the wing.
Can you imagine? It's weird. A few centre-back injuries. It's all right, we'll put our wingers in.
Willian
and Harry Wilson at the back for us Monday night.
Harry Wilson, you still got him?
Yeah, he plays. He's
blimey.
Right. He needs to step up a bit. Like, he needs to, like, really jump to that level of Premier League. But he's a good player.
He's a set-piece merchant, though, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he can whip a ball. He's good. I like him. He just needs to... He needs to make that jump to Premier League level.
And speaking of making jumps to Premier League levels, I want to talk about this Fulham-Chelsea rivalry. I say that in inverted commas.
Yeah, this is how you always say this. Yeah.
No, but it's true. It's true. Like, you're like trying to goad me, and I just, quite frankly, don't give a shit.
What
I thought Brentford was the rival for Fulham. But what is this?
The bus stop in Hounslow.
Yeah. Whenever I spoke to Izzy at Fulhamish, and she's like, yeah, just Chelsea. It's like, it's Chelsea Fulham. Like, I get there's a bit more of a rivalry after last year, kind of.
Yeah.
More from your side than ours still. Yeah. But it's a bit like, I thought Brentford was the team which you guys hated more. Where is this venom coming from?
Are you asking me where I sit on it?
Yeah, because you don't speak for everybody. I don't, when everyone's sort of like that.
Where I sit on it is like, it's just an ingrained thing as a Fulham fan. It's ingrained in you to just hate Chelsea. So you just hate them. And it is very much, and I think it's obvious to say, it's very much just big brother hatred energy. Like, we look at you lot and we're like, oh, the success, all this. And it's just clearly like, there is obviously some jealousy there. Let's be fair.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
But I fucking hate you lot. I hate you lot so much. That blue flag can go right up your arse. Brentford, getting onto Brentford is like, okay, let's be polite first. Well-run club, good manager, but just so irrelevant. I've lived in London my whole life. I was born in Hammersmith, okay? I live in Fulham, lived in Putney now. Well, don't give addresses away. I don't care.
I've got the address. I'll stick it in the pod description.
I'm about London. I'm a London boy. I go everywhere in London. I work in London. Do this. I've never met a Brentford fan in my life.
I was thinking this.
I don't know any Brentford fans.
If anyone says they're a Brentford fan, they're like, oh, you know, I've been following them and I've got the season ticket because it was, you know, going. Like, I know a lot of Chelsea fans who will go to Chelsea on a Sunday when we play in Europe.
Yeah.
And then on the Saturday, they'll be at Brentford because they get a season ticket.
Yeah. I know that exactly. Okay. I know people like that as well. Yeah.
But it's such a mission to get to as well.
I don't get it.
How's that even really London? Like, it's one of those that hits that debate.
I'm telling you now, I'm convinced they're NPCs. You know, like on FIFA. when I go to, I was at Hammy End, Fulham, Brentford, we got spanked, yeah, great, red card, should never have been. And I'm looking over to your away end, Brentford fans, and I'm just like, I'm convinced they're pixelated. Like, I'm looking over like, that is not real people. Like, they just don't exist. Even when I come out the stadium, I'm like, well, I haven't seen any.
I mean, I tried to get hold of Brentford fans for a preview, because obviously we got them next week, so I tried to sort of, or next 2 weeks, so I was trying to get it all sorted and everything into a rhythm. Basically in the month's time, I'm trying to be organised, which is not something I'm very good at, so
right,
you know,
yeah,
I'm like,
clearly.
Got to get it all, yeah, there you go. But having said that, it's you can't get hold of anyone. It's just like, usually cut through to customer service, same noise, press a button.
Yeah.
You say one thing, I think she says someone else. Would you like to speak to Brentford fans? Yes.
Putting you
through to Stoke City. Like, what is going on here? I don't get it. But I mean, that's something which I've never got. So I remember one of my first games was when we played. I remember we played you because I remember Brian McBride playing. I didn't think I'd ever see an American playing football.
Right, yeah.
And then he got, he had a challenge with, I think it was Makaleli.
Yeah.
And there was like blood all down his shirt for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, man sport, love it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've never really got this energy from Fulham fans because I always thought it was, because people always say that Chelsea Fulham is not a rivalry. Like, no, it doesn't count. It's like, I get that. But at the same time, they're a bit like, clearly there is something here, and it's just the geography more than anything. But then it's like, when you do the rankings, like, you speak to any Chelsea fan, it's like, yeah, we hate Spurs, hate Arsenal, hate United, West Ham, and then like, probably say, I don't know, like Newport Pagnell, well, it's a local side, and they're Milton Keynes before we even say Fulham. Yeah. You know, I just don't get it.
I know, I get it from your perspective. Times are changing though now. You lot are awful these days, and I think it's going to continue for a long time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think until you get rid of Todd Boehly.
I think it'll be a couple of years. I think
you reckon?
Yeah. I think
you're lucky Luton and Sheffield are in this league. I'm telling you now. You're so blessed. You're bad.
Yeah, but we're not going to go
down. I've seen some stats on you lot.
Here we go.
Crazy. Well,
the stat of the last 35 games where it's what, 0.8 points.
Yeah.
It's not a great stat, no, but I mean, the fact is that games aren't played over.
No.
You know.
And it's all right because you beat Luton and Raheem Sterling scored. So you're back.
Yeah, we're so back.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So,
you've
so
got that win over Luton, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, put it this way. For us, it's kind of a case of if we've beaten Brighton in the cup. So I'm kind of looking at going, that was you know, a bit of a hump on our back. So now I'm kind of looking, okay, now we've got a win there and against Brighton, who have been giving it the big one.
Yeah.
So we were at the ground, right? Talk about cringy fans.
Mm.
Think the stereotype of someone from Brighton, you know, it's a little bit edgy, but they can't afford to live in Shoreditch, that sort of person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, one guy squaring up to me because I was walking out. So obviously, when you're in the away and you go through a Bovril gate, right?
Yeah.
That's my usual little cut through, but they closed it off the away fans because they had the whole shed end. I had one guy try and square up to me, stick his arms out like he was in Green Street, and then go, yeah, get ready to see you got more of a lion. I was like, what is this? That's like, I'm more happy we won because we got rid of him.
Yeah,
so I was
yeah.
like, thank God for that.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
home. Like, I've had enough of that. So that was dealt with. But now that, okay, now we've got that result. I think for us, look, on paper, with the team that we have versus the team you have, and I say on paper because it doesn't mean anything really.
Yeah.
We should be beating you. It's the same with Burnley. So for us, it's kind of, I'm kind of looking at this going, before we go into the international break, if we can get 3 wins on the spin before we have that horror, like, 2 months where we've got Newcastle, City, Arsenal, you know, the works, I'm kind of hoping that we can maybe pick something up.
Yeah, I see a draw, to be honest. There's no goals. There's no goals in the game from either side, really, is there? There's really. No obvious goal scorer who's going to... So I think 1-1, mate. I'm looking at it 1-1. Yeah,
you going for that?
I think so. I think we'll hold out.
I think I went for a 2-1, I think, because I will definitely concede, but we'll have to see. But yeah, anyway, thank you very much for coming on, mate. I do appreciate it.
It
was great. It's fun to talk about toilet roll.
Yeah, no, that was my favourite part as well.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Thoughts on milking tables before we finish?
Yeah, no, think about it a lot, to be honest. something that's... constantly on the mind. Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. Cheers. Thanks, mate. No, see you guys in a bit. Ta da.
It looks shit.
JCC, I know the pain, mate.
I'm so sorry, JCC.
I've given John a
JCC before. Didn't sign up to do the predictions forfeit for next month.
Get a haircut from Lee. How's that going to work when Lee loses? He'll have to go on the milking table.
He has to do his own trim.
To clarify, for Lee's professional ventures, I actually like my haircut and he is a good barber.
Yeah. I have also appreciated Lee's efforts to improve in barbering over the last year. Is that what you want me to read out?
That was good. Like, that seemed like you were reading it, but you actually wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. I didn't read that, yeah.
Lee's right already.
Lee's going to cut this out.
Lee's already annoying, but do not discredit my hair cutting ability.
I know you're not.
I'm talking to him.
I didn't. I said it is a great service that Lee offers to all customers.
For more information, please contact Metropolitan Police at metpolice.com. That was a niche joke from a few episodes ago.
Yeah, it's not great. You know, it's annoying. To be fair, one thing I do want to say, though.
Gary, if he silences me, you know that was a good bit.
Before we go any further, speaking of a few episodes, I do want to say one thing to everybody who does listen. Thank you very much, because we've hit over 1,000 listeners, which is fantastic. And we do appreciate that.
Yeah, shout out you guys.
1,000
listeners. But get drawing.
Yeah,
get drawing. We haven't had a drawing yet.
I'm getting my brother to do one because he's an actual artist. So you know,
but he knows what you look like.
But I think he knows what Lee Smith looks like.
No, he doesn't.
Kevin Smith knows what Lee Smith looks like.
Kev, God, Kev, what a lad he is.
Like, I know Kev's not bad with a Crayola, but
how's Lee spelt?
L-E-E,
I don't think it's L-E-E. I think it's L-E-I-G-H. That feels more.
Ooh. No, that's like Lee Griffiths.
Lee Griffiths. And Griffith scores.
What a free kick.
What
from
a hit on Scotland 2-2.
Yeah. Lee's, you know, L-E-E.
Yeah.
Lee.
It's like you ask Lee, you go, how's your name spelled? How's your name spelled, mate? And he goes, how it fucking sounds. Well, he doesn't have to. It's Lee, isn't it?
My name is Lee.
L-E.
Lee.
Right.
My name is Lee.
Anyway.
Listen here, Arthur.
Anyway. Oh, I'm Billy Kimber. I run the races.
I was waiting for that.
Anyway, my condolences is JCC, but he took one for the team. Took the forfeit right out of my hands.
Yeah. What? Yeah, he's not. We were going to talk about that in our predictions episode, which will be coming out on Saturday morning. Because you'll listen to this on the Friday. Or it might be the other way around.
No, you're right. This is coming out Friday. Our predictions episode will be every Saturday at the places you listen to your podcast.
That's fantastic.
Hopefully.
That really basically, good. We've taken over from Soccer M.
Oh, I love that.
We
should get a band every week, some random band from around the country. Give us a track.
Whoever we're playing. A band from wherever
we're playing. We should have a Soccerette every week.
A what?
The Soccerette.
I'm about to say something which is going to make you two quite sad. I never watched Soccer AM growing up.
Well, I watched it, but I don't know what Soccer AM was.
You don't remember Soccer AM? That was from Great Age.
Oh, is
it?
I know.
I know what it is.
Right, okay.
I know what that, and I've watched that segment, but yeah. Like back in the day, the I didn't Soccerette. Know it was called the Soccer
AM. Yeah, we could have Tubes' question.
Tobes'
question.
And then we just get outside and ping some balls in the back of the net with a trampoline.
Yeah, I know Big John. I can get Big John. He's a Chelsea fan as well.
Yeah, John is a bit. We got to fair, I spoke to him, but got him on the pod.
We should get John on the pod. He's a lovely bloke. Yeah. And he's proper chills.
And he's big. That's why he's called Big John.
Oh, thanks, mate.
He's like 6 foot.
Yeah, he was the keeper on in the soccer end bit.
Yeah.
Pings and balls in.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he's fucking good.
He's an unbelievable.
I'll score.
Like, he's one of the best outfield players I've played with.
Genuinely play conference, easily. He's an unbelievable keeper. We love Big John.
Shout out, John, man.
Now
good
share
guy.
The fucking podcast, John. Anyway, Oh, hello. What's going on? I've lost the script.
Guys, it's just exposed. We've got a script. If this was scripted, then it's very incriminating.
Very talented scriptwriter.
Yeah, exactly. to end up with some of these conversations.
These tangents that we get wheeled in, they're actually planned out months in advance.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got this back. We're back into it. We've got the section called Building Momentum, which we kind of touched on already. We're saying we're going to end this losing run.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go again.
We wrote Dumbledore's death into the script. It's like, what?
At the exact time it happened as well. I'm just, I know when people are going to die.
I can spider senses are tingling.
12:32 today.
Tom just like licks his finger, puts his finger in the air, goes, yep, he's dead.
It's a talent.
Oh dear. Anyway, we want to beat Fulham. We really need the 6 points, as Tobe said. With the team, right? What are we expecting? Because I genuinely could not tell you right now.
4-4, not 4-4-2, but I wanted to say it.
I got really excited then.
Fucking two.
When we do these charity games at the end of the season, do you realise that, you know, when we make Chelsea Echo 11, we are playing 4-4-2?
Your personality's been fielded in each position.
Louis in net and then Lee up front. Aaron Cini at left back. Just all over the gap.
Mozzarella on the wing.
No, Mozzarella plays centre midfield. He went on holiday to Italy and he played five a side.
The bloody play right. He plays at right back. The milkman. Milkman's at left wing.
Oh my god. Man, he always delivers. Right.
Oh dear. Anyway, tangents in tangents.
Okay.
That's what we do.
But anyway.
Team.
Yeah.
4-2-3-1. Please.
Yeah. Governor. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper. Tough choice this.
Do you know what?
Sanchez, obviously.
You say that.
We're not going to play Petridish, are we, realistically? I know Sanchez had a bit of a shocker last night, but in general, like, and he still made some saves.
She as well,
and also still made some saves from his own mistakes.
I thought it was good against Villa.
All I'm thinking, right, is that realistically, we need to realise we have a goalkeeper that can't pass.
No, so he can't. No, that's this is bullshit.
I was watching the game.
Yeah,
and
we watched the Bournemouth game. We've watched multiple games. I'd say that yesterday was a surprise. I was really surprised at his passing because it's been so good prior to that. I wouldn't say his passing before that was a problem at all. It looked like a massive benefit of his game, especially against Bournemouth. He was like unbelievable in terms of distribution.
Unbelievable.
Yesterday was just a surprise. I was like, "What the fuck is going on here?" Like, he's forgot. He's left this club. Yeah, but saying he can't pass,
a big reason he was dropped by De Zerbi was his ineptitude to pass a certain distance, and that was what I think we saw yesterday. And I'm just very worried that it's not. We've seen a good purple patch from someone who's coming into a new club. And playing regularly. Now I'm just worried, like, okay, is this what we need to be
prepared
for?
Do you really want to start experimenting with Petridish?
No, obviously not. Yeah. But, you know, I just want to just play devil's advocate to the situation because, you know, content is king.
So goalkeeper will be Sanchez, as we're not going to play Petribitch or...
Petribitch!
It's because I had Bettinelli in my head, so B was... Or the injured Bettinelli.
Yeah, God knows how that happened.
Yeah, he got injured.
Hope he's recovering.
On a milking table, I think. They all get injured. That's why I've got so many injuries.
Got injured.
Players like, come on. Oh, my hamstring's gone.
He got injured having a haircut.
Anyway.
I have an angry Lee looking at me.
Well, with Chilwell's injury, assuming it is as bad as it looked, I assume we'll probably play... Would it be Mark?
I'll be honest, I think Mark actually outperformed him to the point that I would rather Mark starts. Just out of pure, like, you've earned that, mate.
If Chilwell's out, I would argue you play... De Sassi at right back, you then do Thiago and Levi as your two centre backs, and Cucurella at left back, and then you play. I
worry if De Sassi was out wide as a right back, how would he do?
He was doing. I mean, when we went down to 10, obviously he was playing that position in the.
He was. I just.
He'll be playing against Willian, wasn't he?
Against Willian. Cucurella might be okay just because Willian doesn't really go on the outside much. He does a lot of. He does the little. I wish the viewers could see this right now, but you know the little like, and he shifts. He always comes inside with that move. Willian always did it.
Mm-hmm. Little nudge.
Yeah, and that actually suits a left footer. If Cucurella is going to be more comfortable defending someone coming inside rather than trying to go the outside of him, because then that's when he'd be a bit more on ice skates on his wrong foot. That's how Estupiñán did well, actually, when you spoke about that at the end of the yesterday's game. So I actually think Cucurella could do a job there at right back. Or, like you said, we could do De Zassi right back. I don't know. I just think I like De Zassi. There's a lot of things to like about him, but he might not be the most mobile.
He's not. When we signed him, a lot of people were saying, Monaco fans were saying he's quite slow and they wouldn't recommend playing him at right back. But I haven't seen him. He doesn't look slow, But he's quite a big boy.
He's reading the game,
so he's not going to. In terms of turning against
William or something.
Well, I mean, he's not. He's nimble, William, but he's not the quickest player anymore. He's lost his yard of play, so it might not be the worst thing.
I think it'd be a case of like if you play that four, I don't think we'd expect much dynamism defensive in terms of going forward.
I get that.
I'd rather in this case,
solid back four.
Yeah, just to build the momentum, play a solid back four.
But especially with the you know, obviously Caicedo, assuming it's going to be Caicedo, Enzo, Palmer. Like that's quite good in transition.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily need.
What thing I noticed is that Caicedo seems to be the one that was dropping deep to collect the ball.
Yeah.
So if he's coming to deep to collect the ball, you find Enzo. Enzo does a little, you know, little dinks, little creative genius passes, and then Cole Palmer, you know, does what he does, which is just run at people and, you know, little flip flaps, skin them, and then Mudrick on the left, who he's playing all so well at the minute.
He just needs that GI. Goal involvement.
Oh, that goal is going to hit like crack. Yeah. When Mudrick scores, and cause we know how he celebrates because we've seen him score a goal and do the Drogba, and he got ruled out against Leicester, but I can't wait. I can't wait for that goal.
Just some assists. It's coming. Like, he is looking good. What I'm slightly scared of is like a little annoying little month injury, and then he comes back and all his confidence is just shot. Let's hope. Let's not think that way.
He's a very exciting player, though.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I think
that's why I like watching him. I think I'm not comparing him to Hazard. Let's get that off the bat first. But
no, 'cause he's better.
Since Edin, I don't feel we've had fuck's sake. I don't feel that we've had anyone who looks
an exciting attack
on, just
exciting
takes more. Yeah.
And it's like you could see that with him. He wants to take people on. Sometimes it's too much. You know, yesterday
it's all a learning
there was
process.
A couple of things. You know, in the middle of the park, he tried to, you know, loop it over someone's head when we were in transition. And they won it back and nearly scored. It's like, why are you doing that right in the centre circle? That's stupid. You know it is. But when he's out wide taking people on, won a couple of free kicks, as Tobes touched on in the review, he's going to do really well for us. I think Mudrick on the left, Cole Palmer down the middle, right-hand side. It's not going to be Mattson, as much as I think that looked great. You're probably going to see Sterling, hopefully. I think that's what we want.
And then Brozier up top?
Yeah, that'd be, our choice. But then do you think Breuer's going to be starting if he's...
How many minutes did he get yesterday?
Came on about 20 minutes.
He played a good 15. Yeah, because there were 7 minutes added on. Yeah. I mean, God knows where they put that one out from. But yeah, he played a good 15, 20 minutes. And he held the ball up well. He won like a foul or a corner or something to kill the game. Mm. Like I said, the Lino gave him offside when he would have been on the break from his own half. So I don't know how they arrived at that conclusion either.
They might start him.
And if not... I'm not thinking Raz up top because I want Palmer in the 10. I can't stress that enough.
You say David Washington.
I would play David Washington over Conor Gallagher. I'd rather have David Washington up front and Cole Palmer in the 10 and Enzo and Caicedo midfield
than
Conor personally. I'm kind of sick of not getting the best out of Enzo because we're forcing Conor in and it's not even getting the best out of him anyway. And I just don't really know.
I agree, doesn't make sense. I don't know what he was playing. Yeah. Like, him and Enzo are alternating between the number 10 and the right wing by the end of the game. I was like, why are we playing Conor Gallagher or Enzo Fernandez as a right winger? Mm. It makes no sense. So I'll have to see how that goes. But yeah.
Stick people to their positions.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I think part of the reason I almost want to stick with the Cucurella thing is I liked our build up without Thiago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked seeing Cole Will at centre-back and Chilwell at left-back. It was nice seeing a left-back there anyway. Not that Cole's been bad or anything, but
it's not his position.
It's just that he'd be even better as a left centre-back. And maybe in the future he'll play there a bit when Badia Shield's back, because we can have Badia Shield there. Yeah. But I thought we were a lot less dawdly on the ball. And, you know, love Thiago. He's been very good for us, but I have felt, particularly last 6 months, he's almost a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
The fact that we're still relying on him is mental in itself. But sometimes a bit too many touches and build up and the mistakes have started to creep into his game. I just think we're maybe a better or more progressive team without.
I am struggling to disagree after what I saw last night. But I think with this injury, you're going to see him at centre-back. I think it'll make sense. Unless, you know, he plays Mattson left-back and Cucurella right-back. But
I think if Malagusto was available, he probably wouldn't play, would he?
If Malagusto was available, yeah, I don't think we'd see him in the 11. I don't think we would.
Unless. Not after last night, anyway, because I think Poch will have. I know you could say it's arrested Brighton or whatever, but we were good enough last night and defensively competent enough, and that you would look at it and surely take it into account.
Mm. Yeah, we'll have to see though. Let's know your 11s, obviously, on the Chelsea Echo Twitter, because it does apparently have 25,000 followers, but no one of you are talking to us. It makes us really sad. I know. It's like Tom's there every night, crying himself to sleep. You know. It's been a year, rough year for you, mate, hasn't it?
It's been great, mate. Great year. Chelsea have been great. Everything else in my life has been great.
Yeah, since I started the pod.
It's been great.
After, do you know how many years he's been asking me to do this podcast? It's been like a solid 3 years. He's been going to the pod, listen to the pod, listen to the pod.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah.
I'm a busy boy.
Finally turns on and goes, yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah. All thanks to Mr. Gary Hayes, the team at Highway 61. Thank you very much for all your lovely support, guys. But let's move on, guys, to AOB, Tom's favourite segment.
AOB.
Bovril Gate is cooking up a storm, by the way.
It's taking his fucking time.
Yeah, but listen.
Is this the DJ?
Yeah. So he's basically, I was talking to him the other day, right? Obviously, Bovril doesn't talk. He just kind of responds in, like, grunts. Sample noises. No, it's just like, he doesn't even grunts. Like, he's got a soundboard he takes with him everywhere.
Oh, I missed the soundboard.
He presses a button on the soundboard, and he just communicates by soundboard.
I need one of them.
Yeah, when he's really happy, he just goes... What do you think about Bovril? Are you happy? He goes, nee, 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 nee. It's like a sorted sound. He's really happy with it. And I've never seen his face. Ever. Sunglasses, balaclava... You know, alternating rotation of Chelsea shirts.
Did you know apparently on the Epstein Island list, Stephen Hawking's on it?
So it's kind of Hudson Odoi.
Yeah.
Arteta.
I'm on the island. It was Van Daddy. Sorry.
Who's that?
Stephen Hawking.
very.
Ask me another question.
No, that was a answer. Shit impression.
Ask me another question.
I saw Stephen. Who was Epstein Island last week?
Well, Andy, it was fantastic.
You sound like you're doing a Jimmy Carr laugh.
I like Jimmy Carr. I did not like his Netflix special recently. That was fucking shit, dark humor.
From the viewers won't have seen that, but he was also typing away on his right like he was typing into the
imaginary keyboard. I don't know.
Anyway, he's...
Oh my God!
Got a very dark, very quickly. Yeah. Rest in peace, Stephen Hawking, as well as Michael Gambon.
We can't stop talking about.
Dead. My chair lives on and uses Windows XP operating system.
The good thing is he's not making fun of Stephen Hawking because I don't know who the fuck that's supposed to
sounds
be.
Like a whale or something.
Yeah, mate, that's like
that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So
I've got a good Tuscan Raider.
You're talking on an intake.
Oh God, here we go. Go on then.
Oh, cool. We're talking about Tuscany now, is it? Fucking hell.
Here it is. Sorry, Tuscan Raider. Yo, Tobes never watched Star Wars, so.
No, obviously not.
What do you mean, obviously not?
Well, no, that's... So I just haven't got round to it, and I want to commit to it at some point. I'm not against the idea of Star Wars as a concept at all, I should stress. I just never really watched it as a kid.
I never watched Lord of the Rings.
Neither.
I watched it at 18, because everyone kept banging on... This is part of the reason I probably not watched Star Wars. Everyone kept banging on, going, "How have you not seen Lord of the Rings? How have you not seen Lord of the Rings?" In the first year at uni, I was like, "All right, fuck it, I'll watch these." Meh.
It's not my thing.
It's not my bag. I loved Potter, but I liked the books as a kid, so maybe that's...
Potter's a bit different though, because it's a bit more believable. I don't know, even though it isn't.
Yeah.
But it is, because it's...
You know all those fucking ones.
Well, no,
yeah.
But like, it's a school. Like Muggles. Yeah, it's a school, and like, whereas going on a fucking adventure to find a ring in New Zealand.
Whereas like some guy going, "Oh, no." I'm like, what is it? This? And also, they got... It's after about 3 hours, and you think, oh, this must be the end. It feels like it's wrapped up. It just keeps going, and you're like, this could have ended ages ago.
Yeah. Maybe believable is not the right word. Relatable, maybe, was better.
Like, the battle's all right, but again, it's not like...
Yeah.
The battle's all right. There wasn't enough going on. Tactically, he got it all wrong.
Yeah, he did. It's not like.
Dumbledore.
It's not like 300, where the Spartans all had different formations. You're like, fucking hell, this guy was Pep, but like in the early days.
Okay, I want to use the inventor. And you've got that.
And you get that hunchback who ends up like shagging birds. And you not seen 300? No, 300.
Yeah, but obviously he wasn't actually a hunchback. The whole purpose that was a. That's the...
Yeah, but in the film, he's a hunchback, isn't he?
We're now doing film analysis, by the way, guys.
I actually think we should definitely, like...
I mean, tactically, the Spartans generally were, like, the Pep of their time. Like, Xerxes of Persia had no fucking chance. Oh, he didn't have no chance. He won in the end, but...
Xerxes is like Todd Bowley, isn't he? Like, he's just throwing...
Yeah, he was just throwing... Mate, he was just chucking Persians at these Spartans. But the Spartans had, like, you know, only 300 of them. hence the name of the film. And then just a bit of wall formation.
It was a bit of a low block.
Xerxes kind of struggled to create.
We're saying
he's Pep, but actually we realise that Leonidas is just Sean Dyche with Burnley.
Kind of, yeah.
So it's just all Greeks from one place. So like, it's like just an English team, like just Greeks from Sparta.
Who's the Matty Loughton?
Matty Loughton.
Oh, that's a good shout.
He had one Athenian, and that was Robbie Brady, left back.
Who'd the hunchback be? Because he kind of turned his back on Dyche. And went
Dwight McNeil.
He's with Dwight McNeil now.
No, it is Patrick Bamford, because he never fit in, did he?
Patrick Bamford's the hunchback.
There you go, Pat.
We've just compared 300 Spartans to Burnley.
At least it's come to Patrick Bamford, who former Chelsea player. We're back to Chelsea. The tangents and transitions have written themselves today.
But can I just say one thing? When you watch Star Wars, right, we'll break it down. You obviously commit to it, but like I'll do it. I'll do it with Lord of the Rings. You do it with Star Wars, right?
Don't even bother with Lord of the Rings, man.
No, I'm saying because I haven't watched it, so I'll watch that. Oh. He watches an episode of Star Wars. I watch a Lord of the Rings. There's six Lord of the Rings, if you look at The Hobbit, there's six films, isn't there? There's like, don't bother with the fucking latest trilogy of Star Wars.
No, I would watch the 80s ones first. Even though I know they're 4, 5. I'm aware of Star Wars. It's 4, 5, and 6 is the first three.
Watch 4, 5, 6 and 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it time-wise.
Watch those, and then I'll do the 3 Lord of the Rings, and then we'll do one episode each, right? And then we should do a breakdown weekly. Like, what did you think of the episode? I thought this. Okay, cool. Next, we're going to Chelsea. We have our film analysis. We add our politics, which we did with George Orwell earlier and the Russian Revolution. We're educated at the Chelsea Echo. I really like it. You know, Tobes went to a posh uni. You know, Tom went to a posh uni. And I just read books because I had 23% attendance at my uni.
Haircuts for dummies. That was a good one.
Cut hair. When you don't know how to.
Who's that? Fucking Lilo and Stitch.
I don't know.
family.
Well, this tangent's gone on for way too long. I think we're about to wrap up as well.
We are.
Wrap up like, I don't know. That wouldn't have been appropriate.
Anyway, we had our AOB, which was Reese and Nonny.
Did we talk about them? We touched on that.
Yeah, we talked about them in the last podcast, which you heard yesterday.
It's not that long, so go listen to it.
Yeah, exactly. We had a great time. But anyway, that is it. Obviously, you've had your opposition preview this week, which we got. You've had your film analysis. You've had your politics. You've had your fill of Chelsea.
A few impressions,
yeah.
Human
arguing.
Mate, that's disgusting. I don't even know what that is.
Before we actually do wrap up, it's predictions, which as I'm currently leading, I will announce.
But we're not going to do this.
No, we're not doing the predictions
that's
now.
That's tomorrow's episode.
But I've got to introduce the fact that we're doing the predictions tomorrow, or as we call it, Premier League spoilers, because we're so good at them. we'll go into that in more detail in tomorrow's pod, and also reveal to you who actually did lose the tiebreak week between Lee Smith, aka Louis Beneventi, and Aaron Cheney, aka Tobes. That will be revealed tomorrow,
and we'll reveal whether that was extended because of a loophole.
We can confirm there is no loophole.
Because a loophole that someone tried to find.
There's no loopholes. There's no leathers. You can. Have it, mate. That's
anyway, so that's that.
You're kind of spoiling who lost, but
I've been I've been Tom. Lee's here. Tobes here. Thank you very much. I'm saying bye this time, not Lou, and he really doesn't like it.
Because you've forgotten so many important things we need to put.
Bye.
Oh yeah, Tom beat the M charge. We didn't mention that, so that's good.
Oh, what is this?
Just from the last pod, we weren't sure if he'd be back, obviously.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. We thought you were in court.
No, he didn't. We just sort of had some legality issues.
Yeah, which suggests that, he's going to prison. He took his toothbrush. We found him at HMP Pentonville.
Yeah, basically, we didn't know what the charges were. But he beat Case. He bust Case. My guy, Tom.
So HMP Wandsworth sat down with Daniel Khalifa, who told him how to get out, and then he ended up in Wembley rather than Chiswick. So, didn't go that much further.
I won't be here for much longer. They're out there looking for me.
Yeah, there's fucking helicopters circling.
But, apparently I didn't do the bye very well, so I'll let Lou do it now.
Yeah, that's been the Chelsea Echo podcast. Tom can do the outro for the predictions when that comes out tomorrow. Obviously, Saturday, you're going to have your Premier League predictions or Premier League spoilers, as Tom's already stated. But this has been a Highway 61 production, part of the network, the Chelsea Echo.
You're just saying what Tom said.
Guys, make sure that you give us a 5-star review. on all good podcasting platforms. Send us your pictures of Lee Smith, Aaron Cheney, and Mozzarella, and make sure to follow us on socials. I've been Louis, that's been Tom, that's been Tobes, and our split personalities, and we'll see you later. Ta-da.
That was just a repeat.
Yeah, because you forgot all the other bits.